Welcome to the North Central Baptist Church podcast. We hope you're challenged by the message from our pastor.
Who needs a yellow Bible study? If you need one, if you'll lift your hand, then they'll bring you one. I wanted to share with you, really, this is my favorite passage of Scripture. It's my favorite truth. It's the most encouraging truth that I have ever found in the Scripture. And I wanted tonight to, I believe that although I have not lived this out like I should, I believe that it really holds the key for finding true contentment. The King Solomon was wanting, he had all the riches that money could buy. He had power, he had wealth, he had all that he could have ever wanted. And if you want to go and read the book of Ecclesiastes, you find where Solomon talks about it. He says that there's nothing new under the sun. He said we all are searching for what's going to make us happy. He says that he tried it all. He tried he tried wealth. He tried his works. He was a great builder, and he tried all of these different things. And you find it mostly talked about in chapter 2 of the book of Ecclesiastes. But he comes to the end of his search, and he says it's all vanity and chasing the wind. In other words, he was searching for contentment, searching for peace. In the Old Testament, the word peace is a theologically loaded word. It is a word that, you know, the word shalom. You hear that word in the Hebrew language, shalom. It means peace. And when a person really finds shalom, the Old Testament word for peace, they really found something. Augustine, the theologian, he said it this way. He said, Lord, you have made us for yourself, and our hearts are restless until we find our rest in thee. So the concept is this, that we will be searching all of our life to find what's going to make us happy. As you know, before I became a pastor, I was doing youth work. I did youth work for most of the lion's share of my ministry has been in youth work, and I never forget reading a study that the old Parade magazine did in the Sunday paper. And in that paper, they asked thousands of teenagers, they said, what do you really want in life? And the number one answer was happiness. And I think that's what all of us really want, happiness. And if we get something we want and it doesn't deliver. Now, in my testimony, in my own life, when I was younger, I got involved in different things as a teenager, and one of the things I got involved in was the martial arts. I actually took a Korean-style karate. You want to see a move? I'll put a move on Robert. Okay, you want to see a move? Stand up here, Robert. All right, look, I've always wanted to do this to him, okay? So I'm going to do this to him right now. You want to see a move? Because I thought if I could become a black belt in karate, I'm going to really be somebody. That's what I thought. Okay, now I was like 15 years old, but I studied and I studied and I studied. All right, here it is. You ready? You want to see it again? I mean, that is how fast it was. Okay, sit down, brother. But no, seriously, I thought that if I could get that goal, you know, all of us have goals, but can I tell you this? I remember going, you go up to about red belt, and then I was testing for black belt in karate, and they brought in a third degree black belt to spar with me, and he killed me and everything, and I was thinking, you know, and I remember that the results came back, and the people said, okay, you've passed, here's your black belt. And it was really a letdown. Can I tell you this? Ravi Zacharias says it this way. He says, the loneliest moment in life is finally getting what you thought would deliver the ultimate, and you find it wanting. Now, I don't know what it has been for you. You know, for Solomon, it was wine, women, wealth, works, and pleasure. By the way, do you know what we spend millions of dollars in the United States on amusement? The word amusement, and here we are about to have Water Park Sunday. So, sorry I brought that up. Okay, no. But no, we do. But the word amusement is from two Greek words. The word muse in the Greek language means to think. In the Greek language, if you put the word ah in front of a Greek word, it means the opposite. So the word amusement means let's don't think. And we spend millions of dollars going on rides and doing things that doesn't take any musing. It doesn't cause any thinking. So the point is that we are all after what's going to make us happy. We're all after true contentment. Now, in Psalm 1, I'm going to give you the whole deal right here, right off the bat. When I was in seminary, we translated this in the Hebrew language, and it was the most meaningful discovery of my life when I realized what the phrase meant, the end of verse 3. Let me read Psalm 1:1 and following, and I'll stop at the end of verse 3. It says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. In the Hebrew language, and I'm no, most of what I learned has been very difficult to retain, but I'll never forget him telling us that phrase that says, and whatsoever he does shall prosper, is what is known in the Hebrew language as a hithil imperfect. It's a part of speech in the Hebrew language, and basically what it's saying is this: when a follower of the Lord follows verses 1 and 2, then verse 3 happens, and then at the end of it says, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. Now look at me, I want you to see this. It's not whatsoever he does shall prosper the person, but it's whatsoever the person does, and then here it is, he shall cause it to prosper. I was sitting there thinking, you're telling me that if I will take responsibility of the things I need to do, then God will get involved behind the scenes. By the way, and it sounds like Esther, doesn't it? God gets involved behind the scenes, and whatsoever that person does, God will cause it to prosper. Now, prosperity in the Bible doesn't mean getting rich, okay? There's a lot of prosperity preaching going on. It doesn't mean that. But it means a contentment to know that you are in the center. You know, God is involved in your life and that God is directing your paths. So I want you to, on your Bible lesson there, quickly, go down to the bottom and look at where it says, here is the promise. Whatever he does shall prosper. That is a hithil imperfect. The word prosper means to push forth. Whatsoever he doeth, God shall cause it to prosper. Okay? And then it says this under that point there. It says, I can't control the world around me, but I can sell out to Christ, live by the word of God, and reject ungodly counsel, and God gives me a promise. Now, have you ever heard this verse, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6? It's another example of this promise. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him. Some versions say, in all your ways make Christ known, and he shall direct thy paths. That basically says if you trust in the Lord with all your heart, you don't lean on your own understanding, but in all your ways you acknowledge God, then God will direct your paths. You can have the truth and the assurance that God is directing your path. Here's another verse that is a great one that relates to this. Matthew 6:33, one of my favorite verses of Scripture. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Now that's something we have to do. But if we will, and all these things shall be added to you. So rather than being like Solomon and saying, you know, if I'm going to be happy, I've got to go after this. I've got to go after this. I've got to go after this. I've got to make my way do this. You know what our responsibility is to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So in finding true contentment, and by the way, the word contentment, if you look at Philippians chapter 4, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, Philippians chapter 4, Paul says this in verse 11, not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. To be content. The word content means reliant on Christ. So that first blank is reliant on Christ. So when we go back to the Psalm 1, the first thing is we are to choose our path. Notice in the scripture it says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. So he walks not, then he stands, and then he does not sit in the seat of the scornful. Note the progression. That blank is the progression, if you have that Bible study there with you. So the blanks there are, the first blank is the word reliant. We are relying on Christ. That's what it means to be content. Number one, choose your path. Don't walk by the counsel of the ungodly. Don't stand in the way of sinners. Don't sit in the seat of the scoffers. And the word scoffing means to the talkers, okay, that are scoffing at the ways of God, okay? And you notice there's a progression. The progression of walking, and all of a sudden you stop and stand, and then you sit down. The bottom line is this: you choose your path. That's one of your responsibilities. One of my responsibilities is choosing our path. And I give a little illustration there. Kelly and I, we had the opportunity several years ago. We went to New York City. I had never been to New York City. I'd been there with some young people one time, but Kelly and I got to go ourselves, and we didn't realize that some of the subways, the stops change after 11 o'clock at night. And I mean, you know, we had never been there, so we were out, you know, going to this place, having a piece of cheesecake. We went gone shopping. We had some things that we had bought, but we got on the wrong subway. And so what happened to us, it actually was the subway we should have gotten on, but at a certain time, our stop, it became an express. You know what I'm talking about? It became an express subway. So we got on there, and Kelly said, this seems different. I said, well, this is the blue. You know what I'm saying? This is the blue. And you know, men don't like to be, they don't like to ask people for directions. Well, I tell you what, by the time this was over, I was asking anybody I could ask, how do I get back to where I need to be? Because it went by Times Square, it went by this one, it went by this one, and all of a sudden it went zoom, and there was our stop. And I mean, it just kept going and kept going and kept going. And finally, there was nobody on that car but us. And we got off, and there was nobody on that stop. And it was about midnight. We were standing there, a bunch of packages, and I was looking around. I felt like I was in a movie. There was dripping water over here. Drip. There was like a little, you know, varmint running around, you know, under the tracks and everything. And Kelly was just looking at me, sweet as she could be. And she was saying, I think we need to get back on and go the other way. I said, I think you're right. So we got on there. We finally made it back. But what happened is, here's the point. You got to choose your path. Get on the right subway. You got to get on the right train. You got to get on the one that's going to take you there. And once you make a choice, I equate this to give your life to Jesus Christ. Make sure that you are on the path that the Lord wants you to be on by choosing Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior. As the Lord prompts your heart, you respond to His grace and you give your heart to the Lord. The second thing is love His word. Because in verse 2 it says, but His delight is in the law of the Lord. The word delight means to be inclined to. My job in order to be content is to be inclined to the Word of God. Get into the Word of God. And it says, delight in the law of the Lord. The word law in the Old Testament are the precepts of God's Word. And in His law doth He meditate day and night. The word meditate, the blank there is to mutter, M-U-T-T-E-R, to mutter. You ever stop at a stoplight and you look to your right and there's somebody in their car talking to themselves? They got something on their mind so intense they're talking to themselves. You ever talk to yourself? Well, that's the word here. You're so inclined to the Word of God that you literally are meditating on God's Word. You're muttering. It means to ponder. He thinks about it and He tries to apply it to our lives. Psalm 119:11 says, Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God. These are verses of Scripture that talk about the importance of God's Word. So, folks, our responsibility is to, first of all, choose our path. Don't listen to the path of the ungodly, the path of the scornful, but delight in the Word of God. And so, you know what you've got to do? Hey, take your hand. Well, I don't think your sheet's big enough. If you could draw your fingers, a hand, on one of your fingers, put this. You are to hear the Word of God. That's what we're doing right now. That's what you did this morning. If you were in church today, you heard the Word of God. So here's the way we get the Word of God in us. We hear the Word of God. We read the Word of God. We study the Word of God. We memorize the Word of God. And number 5, we meditate on the Word of God. So we read, we hear, we study, we meditate, and we memorize. And there's an illustration where if you only do a 2 or 3 of those and you hold your Bible with it, Robert could pull it out of my hand. But if I do all 5, man, I got a grip on this Bible right here. He can't get it. Don't pull it too hard. No, just kidding. He can't get it. Pull it, see? He can't get it. But if I'm only maybe hearing it, and maybe reading it a little bit, I'm holding it as tight as I can. I really was trying to hold it tight. I can't hold on to it. But you do all 5 of those. You meditate and memorize the Word of God. Then you are loving His Word, delighting in His Word. And then you enjoy His promise in verse 3. The Scripture says, He shall be like a tree planted by rivers of water. That's an abounding satisfaction. The word planted really means to be transplanted. Then there's astonishing timing to your life. And that means you will bring forth your fruit, the Bible says in verse 3. In its season, that phrase means at the right time. And then you have a consistency to your life, an attractive consistency. It says your leaf shall not wither. And then here's the promise. Folks, I'm going to tell you, to me, I don't know, maybe in my mind I was needing this assurance, but when I was in college here, I went to North Central, I met Kelly, I was thinking my whole life's ahead of me, and I said, how am I going to know how to make decisions? How am I going to know, do I go here? Do I go to this church? Do I do this? How am I going to parent my kids? Oh my goodness. We have 5 children. All of them are different. And I'm sitting there thinking, I don't have the smarts to know how to parent them. I will always wonder, did I make the right call? This verse of Scripture gave me such hope as a dad, as a husband, as a pastor in all of my life, because it showed me what my responsibility was. Get on the right path and delight in His Word. And if that will happen, if every day of your life you get up and you say, Lord Jesus, You have all of me. Matter of fact, they asked William Booth one time, the founder of the Salvation Army, they said, what is the secret to your success? And he said, from the very beginning, when I got the people of London on my heart, he said, God has had all of me. To the best of your ability, you Every day of your life, you get up and you say, Jesus, I'm yours. These are your hands. These are your feet. These are your eyes. These are your ears. This is your mouth. Use me as you want me to be used. And then you delight in the Word of God. You study the Bible. You read the Bible. You try to understand the Bible. You try to apply the Bible. Then he gives you a promise, and whatsoever he doeth, he, not the person, will prosper. That's that hiphil imperfect. He shall cause him to prosper. What a promise. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So I can't control the world around me, but I can sell out to Christ. I can do the responsibility God has given me, and then I can trust him. Now, make sure you understand that life can be very, very tough. Remember, the promise of prosperity is not that everything's going to work out beautifully always. It means that in the midst of the tempest you're in, God can give you contentment. God can give you joy in the midst of the difficulty that you face. And the fourth thing I just had there was count the cost, because in verses 4 through 6, it says, the wicked are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. And it makes it clear that the Lord is keeping accounts. And he says, for the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. So what was once concealed will be revealed, the scripture says. Dr. Billy Graham always told the great stories, and he told the story of a very wealthy man who invited him to come, and he was very honored that he invited him, and he took him to his island. I don't know anybody that owns an island, but if any of y'all do, would you invite me? I'd like to go to an island. I mean, this guy owned an island, so they brought Dr. Graham and Ms. Graham there, and they sat down at this opulent lunch. And this man looked at Billy Graham and he said, Dr. Graham, he said, I am the most miserable man on this earth. He said, at any moment I could have a helicopter come in here and we could go anywhere we want to go. I've got jets, I've got money, I've got everything you can imagine. He said, but I'm miserable. And Billy Graham says in his book on peace, he says, Ruth and I tried to tell him about Jesus, that his answer was in Jesus. And I want you to know that today. I don't know what you're searching for, but I can tell you right now, according to the Bible, according to God's word, everything you really want, you're going to find in Jesus. He said that Ruth and him went down to a little cottage where they were spending the evening, and another man came up that was on that island and knocked on the door, and he said, Billy Graham said to his wife, he said, the guy reminded me of a grasshopper. He was an elderly guy. He was just jumping around all over the place. And he said, he said, Mr. Graham, I just wanted to meet you. He said, I just got a minute. He said, I'm taking care of my two invalid sisters. He said, man, what a privilege I have to do that. He said, Dr. Graham, he said, I don't have two nickels to rub together. He said, but I'm the happiest man on this island. And the guy left, and Ruth said to Billy, said, I wonder who really has contentment on here. And he said, I know that we both knew the answer to that. Here was a guy who had everything. He was not content. Here was a guy who had zero in the way that the world would think, and yet he said he's the happiest man on that island. And folks, I don't know what your circumstances, but that word contentment, now hear me on this. That word contentment, as a part of its meaning and etymology there, that word, it means a peace that is not associated with circumstances. Most people are, their happiness level is based upon their circumstances. Biblical contentment has nothing to do with circumstances. It's supernatural. And so I just want you to know this. You choose your path. You delight in his word. And the Bible says, whatsoever you do, God as his, as your God and you his child, he shall cause it to prosper when we live that way. Let's bow our heads in prayer.
Thanks for letting this small part of North Central Baptist Church experience stream into your life. We hope you will visit us soon and become part of the family of North Central Baptist Church, reflecting Christ's light on Gainesville and the world.